Welcome to Copper Country Today, heard Sunday mornings at 7 o'clock on 97.7 The Wolf, 8 o'clock on 1400 AM, 99.3 FM, WCCY, and 9 o'clock on KBear 102.3. Our program is brought to you in part by the members of the Copper Country Education Association and by the Copper Country Veterinary Clinic, proud supporters of the Copper Country Humane Society and the Keweenaw Spay and Neuter Assistance Group. You can also listen to a podcast of our program by going to the Copper Country Today page at KeweenawReport.com. In the second segment, I will be speaking with Laura Miller from the Calumet Theater about the upcoming Grand Raffle. But now I am joined by Alan Anderson from the Michigan Department of Transportation, who is here to talk about the upcoming Portage Lake Lift Bridge Rehab Project. Thank you, Mr. Anderson, for joining me today.
Yeah, you're welcome.
You said that there is some info about the bids for the project?
Yes, the our low bidder did come in over the engineer's estimate on the project. Bids had to go to the Transportation Commission for approval due to being over by more than 10%, but that we've been granted a waiver we requested due to, the importance to make sure that we get this project going timely, and the chairman of the Transportation Commission granted the waiver, and so we were therefore allowed to go forward with proceeding to get the contract awarded.
And I wanted to start off with the planning process. When did planning for the project begin?
Planning for this project actually began approximately 5 years ago, where this project, first went into the scoping phase and has been, through the maintenance and inspection records has been developed since.
And so what kind of things go into planning a project like this? Who is it MDOT that decides what needs repairs and what can be held off?
Yes, there's a group, it's actually in our maintenance division who does oversee all the big bridges and movable bridges in the state, and they do detailed inspections every year, as well as hiring of consultants who work with these types of bridges also, and basically looking at the maintenance records and items on the bridges that have been an issue and coming up with the scope of the work on the project.
And you bring up the maintenance records. For those who don't know, when was the last time major work was done on the bridge?
It was approximately 18 years ago when there was a mechanical and electrical rehabilitation project that was done on the bridge.
And in its current state right now, as it is, how long could it go without maintenance? Like, is this something that needed to be done soon, or something that could have been held out or held off?
I guess it's a preventative maintenance project in a way. It's going to have to be done eventually, so it was chosen for this time frame. But the funding was available to do it at this point, and these items need to be worked on before they get to a point where reliability would be an issue.
Now, we'll definitely get specifically into each of these issues, but I wanted to ask you about what causes some of these issues. Is it basically just, wear and tear, or does the weather have an effect on some of these issues that are going on with the bridge?
Well, I would say it's just that the life and age of the bridge, as well as, the wear on it, as well as the environmental effects. Yes.
Were you receiving any complaints from local officials, from residents? Did that factor into any of the work that was done?
Not really. Not specifically, I should say, but you can look back at every time there is a time when either the bridge was stuck for some reason for a longer time than normal, or even just last week with the weather when they had the icing issue where it did get stuck for a short time, and it does become a major concern on everyone's mind at that point, because it is a vital link, obviously.
Based on its location, does the bridge, the Portage Lake Lift Bridge, does it require more maintenance or more to be maintained more often than other bridges?
I guess I'm not in the maintenance of the bridge specifically, more on the construction end of it here, but I don't think it's any more than any other bridge. I would think all the movable structures in the state basically get something every 20 years or so.
But would it be something where some preventative work that you guys do is specifically because of the harsh winters, or does the weather just really have nothing to do with how the bridge is constructed?
I don't think the weather has changes the when we come in and do the work. I mean, the frequency of when we come in and do the work, no.
You're listening to Copper Country Today here with my guest, Alan Anderson, from the Michigan Department of Transportation. So let's just get right into it with each of the issues. We can start off with the lift cable replacement. And it seems to me, I mean, maybe to some others as well, that when you look at it, it's like, how are they going to be able to, how do they do it? So how does that process work with the replacing the lift cables? Or you can start off with why the lift cables need to be replaced.
Yeah, the lift cables have never been replaced since it was built, and so the bridge is 55 years old now. So, and over time, they're starting to show some wear and stretch in the cables, and that is essentially why, based on the design recommendations from our consultant and from the experts in this movable bridge community, they recommend to replace them at this point. And so as far as the process of replacing these, mm-hmm. this is is going to be the big item on this project, and what most people will notice, I guess. And what we have to do in order to replace these cables is, first of all, we have to pin the counterweights in position, jack the lift span up, release the cables from the lift span, so it basically disconnect mm-hmm. at the point where they connect onto the lift span, and then lower the lift span back down and let it set on the bridge seats. And all that work will be done in that first night when we're planning for January 17th to close from 9 p.m. till 7 in the morning. And that once we get the lift span back down and set on its seats, it can set all winter until we have to reconnect the cables, which will, through the winter, we'll replace one cable at a time, and we'll take one down and put one back up. And there's 84 cables in all, so through many different nights, because we're going to do all these cable replacements at night,
mm-hmm.
We'll have various times when we have closures to traffic while we're lifting a cable or lowering a cable down. But once all those new cables are up and in place and fastened to the counterweight, then in the spring of the year, of this coming year in 2015, and we're planning for March 21st would be the night when we reconnect those new cables to the lift span, and we have to at that time jack up the lift span and reconnect the cables onto it, and then lower the lift span a little bit with the jacks and take the pressure off of the counterweight hangers and unpin those, and then once those are unpinned, then we can actually move the lift span again with the bridge.
And I wanted to ask before we get into a couple of the other issues, are some of these issues, are they I don't want to call them separate projects, but are they things that two things can be done at the same time, or does one thing have to be done and then you jump to the next?
I guess there's a variety of different work in this project. Some of it can be done at the same time. Some of it has to wait. There's so many items that mm-hmm. that I wouldn't be able to get into each and every specific one. But it's really up to our contractor at this point to, once we do get an award, they'll put a schedule together and have exactly when they're going to do a lot of these things. They do have restrictions on them, which we put in the contract in order to, you know, where they're only allowed to close the bridge for the longer closures at nighttime and things like that. So, but yes.
With the one that really caught my eye was the security system improvements. What's going to be going into that?
That's some additional cameras will be added on to the bridge. I believe 10 new cameras and fencing underneath to gate off certain areas so we can kind of control the access underneath the bridge. That's essentially the security improvements that we have.
Was there anything specific that made you guys think, hey, we need to add some more cameras, we need to improve the security? What was the specific reason behind these security upgrades?
Yeah, those were all pinpointed, I guess, with a security audit from the Homeland Security team that did do an audit at one point further back and recommended some things in order to improve the security on the bridge.
With the spot painting and the barrier gates, it's probably one of the more minor things that needs to be done, but it is important.
Yes, there's... I guess that the spot painting, there's 12 different locations identified where there is corrosion on the bridge that needs to be rectified, and so that's a significant item, and that will cause some issues with traffic and things like that while we're painting and setting up containments and things like that. So that's a big item also. The barrier gates, we do have currently have warning gates on the bridge, and we will be replacing those, upgrading those, but also we'll be adding barrier gates, another set of those, essentially where closer to the lift span. So it's a second set of gates that's more of a barrier to vehicles.
Another replacement that is going to be done as well is with the balance chain. Now, what exactly is that?
If you look on the bridge, there's eight different chains that are hanging from the counterweight and are connected to the tower, and those chains are are set up to balance the, I guess, as the bridge is lifted, it transfers weight to the structure or to the counterweight. One, you know, I guess as it goes up and down, it helps to improve the lifting. And those right now we have to rehabilitate those because the bushings in those have some of the links are seizing up with the pins, and we have to go take those down, and they have pressed all the bushings out and put new bushings in, and then put the chains back up. So while we're doing, in order to do that, those rehabilitations, those chains, like I said, have to come down and go back up. It'll be approximately a two-hour closure in order to take one down or to put it back up.
You're listening to Copper Country Today here with my guest, Alan Anderson, from the Michigan Department of Transportation, talking about the Portage Lake Lift Bridge Rehab Project that's coming up. And, of course, one of the big issues that everyone's talking about is the delays. Now, as of now, there are two really long delays, right?
Yes. What we have planned right now is for two nights where we'll have the bridge closed for the entire night. And those are planned for January 17th and March 21st.
With those, in terms of all night, the times are specific?
Yes, January 17th, I guess times are 9 p.m. We plan to close the bridge and open by 7 a.m. And then on March 21st, it would close at 9 p.m. and open at 8:30 a.m.
Okay, so so this 17th, so it's basically a Saturday. So, I mean, it won't be too much of an issue of people getting to work. So I'm guessing it was strategically placed on a weekend.
Yes, we looked at a lot of options and looked into a ton of different things that could impact or would impact, and as far as when we picked the times and the when we decided to settle on a Saturday night into a Sunday morning,
mm-hmm.
we felt that we would impact the least people and the least of the economy, I guess, at that point.
Okay, and then there are 16 two-hour nighttime closures, and those are going to be going on between January and April. Are those are all of those going to be specific timed ones? Like they're all going to be 2 hours, for example, all from say 1 to 3, or is it just going to be different times on those different days?
All the 2 hour closures are scheduled right now for 2 a.m. to 4 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't have a date for them yet. We will settle on something later as we get closer for those. But those are specifically for lowering and raising of those balance chains I had talked about earlier.
And in terms of the, it says here, approximately 200 15 to 20 minute daytime and nighttime closures, those are going to be planned ahead of time too, right?
Yeah, but the... those will be more something where we'll say, okay, this week we're doing nighttime closures,
mm-hmm.
15 to 20 minute closures, and there'll be a variety of them through the night, possibly. And those are mostly for the raising and lowering of the lift cables themselves,
mm-hmm.
but there's other items that do have to be lifted at times, and whenever we're lifting a major item, we have to close the traffic down on the bridge, so for safety reasons.
When the times do get established, what are some of the ways people can find out ahead of time in case they need to plan ahead?
Yeah, we're going to be putting a lot of information out on a different ways. I guess we'll have press releases, we'll have notices on Twitter and Facebook, and as well as on our website. We do have on michigan.gov /m.projects, there's a Forge Lake Lift Bridge website there, set up there, where you can actually go and get information. We'll be updating that. We plan to put a notice on the Keweenaw National Historic Parks radio frequency, and we will also be having in-place signing message boards, things like that, right on the roadways themselves. So we'll be getting the word out on when those closures will be happening as we get closer on those shorter term closures. But like I said, most of those will be done at night as well, and there'll be a few that would be done during the day, but it will be real similar to a closure when we have a lift of when the bridge is operable. So
you're listening to Copper Country Today here with my guest Alan Anderson from the Michigan Department of Transportation. Let's talk about what are going to be the ways that in case of an emergency, emergency vehicles will be able to get across Portage Lake.
I guess the big concern is during the all-night closures for emergency vehicles, and that was because we have to jack the lift span up, and it will be raised into a position of approximately 2 to 3 feet above the other roadway during that whole night. And so we did specify that we had our contractor is to bring in a system where they're bringing ramps in order to accommodate an ambulance or a police vehicle to be able to get up and over that lift span while it's jacked up those 2 to 3 feet. Now, that's the only vehicles that will be able to get over during those two full night closures are an ambulance or a police car. Now, the other nights when we have closures, the bridge will be, the lift span will be back down at its normal position, and the roadway will be flush with the adjoining span. So during those nights, if there was an emergency and we have to, accommodate that by having our contractor stop work and allow the emergency vehicles to get across and then restart their work.
Will snow removal, in terms whether it's MDOT or the road commission, will that have any effect on the bridge project? Will you guys maybe have to stop or have them go through, or was that already, or is that already being coordinated?
Well, snow removal will have to continue through the winter. Obviously, if it happens to be snowing and it gets to a point where we have to clear the snow, they will have to go through and plow. It shouldn't affect the actual closure, because during the time the closure is actually happening, vehicles won't have to be going back and forth across anyway. Mm-hmm. But definitely we'll have to continue through the winter, and our contractor will be cleaning snow as well in the areas that they're working, and keeping the bridge clear of snow so that when they do reopen, a vehicle can get through in that lane where they're working.
When the project is completed, how long will it extend the life of the bridge until you have to do another major project like this?
I would say it'd be another 20 years or so, and that's what it was since the last one, and it would be real similar to that. I wouldn't expect that there would have to be a major rehabilitation again until about 20 years from now.
And in terms of any minor work, would that end up having to be done maybe sooner?
Yeah, there could be a need for things like, you know, minor things, but we would hopefully, you know, I would think that most of the items would be, if they could wait, would be lumped together when and wait for a project when it happens, you know, something that when you have a more major project again.
All right, well, that'll wrap up this segment of Copper Country Today. I'd like to thank Alan Anderson for joining me today on my program. Thank you very much, Mr. Anderson.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Our program is brought to you in part by the members of the Copper Country Education Association and by the Copper Country Veterinary Clinic, proud supporters of the Copper Country Humane Society and the Keweenaw Spay and Neuter Assistance Group. You can also listen to a podcast of our program by going to the Copper Country Today page at QNRReport.com. We'll be right back with more of Copper Country Today.